Zimbabwe, and if anybody is interested about knowing what's going on, ask Johnny Booth, because they're John's a real traveller in Zimbabwe, and there's so much work you could be involved in, isn't there, mission-wise, and I'm sure we can't do everything, so it's good at least to be interested somewhere. So if you've got a real heart to Cambodia, you can draw everything you can out of Ruth, because she goes back tomorrow. If not, Sarah no doubt will keep you updated. But it's good, isn't it, that we should be involved in what God is doing throughout the world. They're all different situations, all have their challenges. And there's a desperate need, isn't there, for people to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I woke up one morning, I can't remember when it was, I woke up. And I was thinking about you and what you do here at River Church. And as you know, I've been privileged to be involved over many years. And this is a nice place, I like it. I think it's better than the old place. And you may, of course, not think of the old place, but it's got a nice room. All you need now is to buy it for council and you'll be right into it. Well, you know, the Lord does give you words, you know, and if he gives you the word, he'll give you the means to buy it. I remember walking up Bristol Avenue where we lived in Elton, and there was this great big monstrosity called the Methodist Church. And the Elton Methodist Church, and the Lord said, "That's yours." I was with an elderly brother. His name was David Weatherly. And he used to live a couple of doors up from us in the house of Alan Betty Stewart, who joined us in the work. We were a house group at that time. We were packed out in our home and we desperately needed our own place. And the Lord said, "That's yours." And of course, you can come and see us there. The Lord gave it to us, despite all the opposition to others. And it really, it's God's thinking. That's the key, isn't it, of this life in which we live. It's God speaking to you personally into your situation, whatever those circumstances might be, and coming with the power and the authority to fulfill what he says. And this word that came to me as I was, I don't know what you do early in the morning, but I mean, often my thoughts are on the thoughts of the Lord and what he has for us today. And I know many of our lives are already set. You've got a program, you might have many children, you've got to get up and do their breakfast, or if they've not already got into their beds before you've got up. But in the morning, we need to know what God wants to say to us. And then we need to work out that plan. It may be to go to Cambodia, or Zimbabwe, or wherever. It may be just to get on with your job. But we need to hear God. The Lord reminded me of this scripture in John's first chapter in his gospel. "As many as received him, to them gave he power or authority or the right to become the Son of God, even as many as believe on his name." Simon reminded us that there's a difference between believing and faith. It's not a big step, but it is a step. And I'm reminded that it says in Hebrews, as many without faith, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible. I mean, quite the scripture itself. To believe. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Yeah. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that have been saved. And it's an interesting story about did actually walk on the tightrope over Niagara Falls. And he could do some amazing things. In fact, it's recorded that he put a wheelbarrow with a packed sack of potatoes in it and wheeled it from one side to the other. And he said to the Duke of Newcastle, who was watching him with great interest, he said, "Do you believe that I could carry a man in that wheelbarrow?" And of course he said, "I believe." He said, "Well, get him then." He refused. So he might have believed that he could carry somebody else in that wheelbarrow. He certainly wasn't believed that he could carry him in that wheelbarrow. And I think that can speak for us as well, can't it? That we may be able to believe for somebody else. But when it comes to ourselves, do we really believe that God is able to do it for us? And I think the key has got to be in God speaking to our hearts personally. You need to cultivate a sensitivity to the Lord and be aware of the difference between what he says and what we think we would like him to say. Let me turn you into the book of Matthew firstly, and then Jesus has finished speaking to his disciples on what we know as the Sermon on the Mount, and he draws it to a conclusion with a statement about people building their houses on the rock. And he says that there are two kinds of people. There's the wise man and the foolish man. The man who is wise builds very solid foundations, and so his house is built upon the rock. So when the storms and the winds come and beat against that rock, it stands. The foolish man is the quick fix guy who looks at a nice little flat ground and just fixes his house up and puts it there. And of course, it has no ability to withstand any pressure or difficulty. And people find tremendous problems in their lives because they don't understand what God is doing or, you know, what's happening to me. And part of believing is trusting God. You know that faith is forsaking all I trust in. We can break it down like that. And then when he said this, he begins this parable by saying, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them," and then he finishes off, "and it was so when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes." And then, of course, Matthew unfolds this amazing ministry of Jesus as he begins to walk around. And wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have that kind of ministry where we're just living amongst people? It may be in Cambodia, Stong Treng, I think they call it. They didn't have a nice long road then. It was, I think it was 12 hours by bus, 7 hours by taxi, 4 in the front and 4 in the back. Although when I was there, it was a back seat between us, 5 and 9. You know, wherever